Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And welcome to the best animated shows ever. So far. I was waiting to see if you were going to break. I was just waiting.
Nope.
Didn't work.
You know me too. I relish awkward silences. You can't make me break.
I didn't expect you to, but I hoped that maybe, just maybe. This is the show where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever eventually. I don't know if I've said that the same way every single episode, but whatever. We'll roll with it.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Today we're launching into a new show. We are watching a show called... I don't know what this show is called.
Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir.
No, that's close. No? It's called Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir. That's the problem, is sometimes I called it Ladybug in my head. Sometimes I called it Miraculous. Sometimes I called it Miraculous Ladybug. I was never really super straight on what the show is called. This was suggested by Mute Banshee over on Twitter. Mute Banshee was going to join us. Unfortunately, will not be able to. However, I think we're going to do like, I'm gonna get with her and do like an interview segment to put at the start of episode 2. So she can still be a part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this show, just to kind of give some background, it's a computer animated superhero show. It's made by a team up of a French studio, a couple of Japanese studios, an Italian studio, and a South Korean studio. So this is like a whole international affair that all teamed up together to make this show.
I didn't know that, but I definitely know about the French side because it's based in Paris.
Yeah, set in Paris, and they make a pretty big deal in the 3 episodes we've watched. Like, they are constantly, like, checking in on Parisian landmarks and such. So it's not, like, vaguely set in Paris. It's pretty specific about that. Did you know anything about this one going into it at all?
I knew bits and pieces. Like, I've heard about it from, people on the internet, like, who have kids, and they're like, oh, this show's great. You can just sit your kid down in front of the TV, and they love it. You can see why as well. It's very bright, and, like, it's very cheerful, and it's really fun.
Yeah. I had seen the title card for it on Netflix. Netflix repeatedly was like, hey, Troy, I think you'd like this show.
Yeah, no, it did the exact same thing to me. And then all of a sudden it disappeared, like, a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I started liking things that were a little bit more mature. And then it was like, oh. and like, I was like, oh, wait, where'd those shows go that I was going to put into my list that I can't see anymore? And I had to go search for them now.
Because I feel like it just kept showing up for me, but I never watched it because I've seen a couple of like modern CGI cartoons, and all the ones I've seen are hot garbage. They're just really bad. They look bad, and they've got terrible writing and stuff.
Have you seen Ruby?
WBY? Oh, I've heard of it, but I've never seen it. I didn't realize that was CGI.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. That. They've actually been really good. Like, even Japan's like, yeah, this is an anime, and it's, like, everywhere.
Huh. Well, see, my impression was that this was going to be just, like, a cheap kids show. I was kind of surprised when Banshee suggested it, because I wouldn't have expected what I was perceiving to be as, like, just a cheap CGI kids show to be up her alley. But I was really surprised. So... getting into the background of it, this was the original idea for this was from a French animator named Thomas. I don't know how you pronounce Thomas in French. I'm not even going to try. It would just be terrible.
Tomas.
Tomas. That's Spanish, isn't it? Tomas Astruc, Astruc. Shrug. The Wikipedia article about this says he was inspired by a meeting with a certain lady who was wearing a ladybug shirt. And I'm like, why did you make that sound creepy? Like, a meeting with a... I was expecting to, like, read on and it'd be like, twist, it's his wife now, or something. And not as far as I can tell, it was just a random person he met while working on a show. And she was wearing a ladybug shirt. And he's like, that's cool, I want to make a comic book. And then he met this other guy named Jeremy Zag, who was not involved in the cartoon industry at the time, who was like, nah, this should be a cartoon, buddy. And they, like, started working to make it a cartoon. They partnered with Toei Animation in Japan, which is a huge anime studio, to make an anime out of it. And they actually made a teaser. There is a, like, an anime preview of this that you can go watch online, where it's all, like, traditional anime 2D animation instead of the CGI. But then they ended up reworking it for a couple of reasons. One was to make it more kid-friendly, it sounds like. I think part of it was cost. And part of it was also that they were afraid that Ladybug's costume in 2D, as she's, like, running, would have too much of a strobe light effect. And, you know, would be, like, Pikachu's cheeks flashing and giving kids seizures. So for kind of a variety of reasons, they switched it over to a CGI show instead.
Well, I didn't know about the Japanese connection until you brought it up. But now... the Akuma thing makes so much more sense.
Good, because I don't understand Akumas, and I was hoping that you had something on that, because I got nothing.
It just means demon.
Is that what... Okay. I didn't even know that much.
Yeah, it's demon. It's Japanese. It's one of those weird things.
Do I know, like, that from Samurai Jack?
No, maybe. Where you're more likely to, know it from is Street Fighter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's a guy named Akuma, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. I did not connect that at all. In fact, I think only in the third episode did I actually look up how to say or spell Akuma. So I think I got them written as, like, Hakuna Matatas half the time in my notes because I couldn't understand what they were saying exactly. But yeah, very, very Japanese inspired. And like, once I read that, the show kind of clicked for me. Because I read that partway through watching the first episode, and then I got into the magical girl transformation, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
this is an anime. I get it. Like, yeah. I the first half of the first episode, I'm like, what am I watching? And then I read that right as a magical girl transition happened, and I was like, it's an anime. Got it. Okay, I'm on board.
Here's the other thing. We're both watching it on Netflix, and I'm like 100% sure these aren't in order.
Yes, kind of, sort of. They are in the order that they were aired originally on Nickelodeon. This first episode was the first episode they aired on Nickelodeon, which was on December 6th of 2015. However, its production number is 109. So this was the ninth episode they actually produced, but they aired it as the first episode. The first episode, though, was episode 3, so we'll get to that in a couple weeks here. That's the one with production code 101, and it's not like it has more of an origin story than this one does. So I think that's just the show decided, they're like, you know what? We're not going to bother with an origin story. We're just going to drop you into the middle of the action and let you figure it out from there. So while it's not in production order, it's not like Firefly, where they totally botched the airing of the episodes. Not that bad.
Like, what you're saying makes more sense, because it's a little bit, like, they ease you a little bit more into it with that third episode, I think.
A little bit, whereas, but not a whole lot,
no,
I don't think.
No, it's like they don't explain the origins and stuff, but they sort of ease you a little bit into it a bit easier. But this one, they sort of, like, just drop you into it, and you're like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I guess it does a little more. But anyway, let's get into the first episode here. So episode 1 of season 1 of Miraculous, the Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir, is called The Bubbler. As I said, December 6, 2015. And in this episode, school student Marionette gushes over her crush's, Adrian's, birthday. And then his friend Nino is turned into an evil supervillain who's bent on the abolishment of adults, so that he can host a super cool birthday party.
Because it's Adrian's birthday.
Aww.
Yeah.
So it starts off right away, and I'm confused because there's this girl. She's in Paris, she's in France, and she's hanging out with a weird little ladybug ghost monster thing, and I was confused. It's like, I don't understand what's happening.
Straight up, she wakes up, her alarm goes off, and then there's this little alien floating creature that's hanging around her, and you're like, whoa, what's up with that?
It's just there. And again, this is like you were saying, no explanation. There's just a weird little ghost thing floating around.
And she immediately's like, happy birthday, Adrian, and kisses her monitor because there's a whole bunch of modeling pictures of him on her screen.
Mm-hmm. Because he is a model. Are they... I guess we'll get into this in episode two. In episode two, I wanna talk about their school and understand more.
I definitely know what you're gonna ask about, and I already know the answer.
Oh, good, because I don't. So she's dancing around getting ready for school while Adrian also has a weird little ghost creature, which is a cat that likes cheese, and
He's like, happy birthday, and he's holding out, like, this camembert that's, like, all dripping and stuff. And he's like, ew! And he's like, and the cat thing just shrugs and eats it.
Yep.
Like, it's another, like, little floating alien black cat. And you're like, okay, they both have them.
Yep. Plague's like, cool, I'll eat this. At that point, I was like, is this a thing of just this world? Like, everybody has weird little floating familiars hanging out with them?
I thought it was that as well. You come into it later that you find out they're miraculouses.
Sure, because that explains it. It suddenly all makes sense.
Because that's what the villain's after, apparently.
Yeah. I can't knock the show for none of this making any freaking sense.
No, because...
because it's not supposed to. It's not like it's doing a bad job of explaining it. It's just not interested in explaining it right now.
Oh, and here's the other thing. Adrian lives in this giant fancy mansion, and it's his birthday. His dad's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
And he's at breakfast, and he's like, "Oh, can I have?" And his dad's assistant walks up, and he's like, "Happy birthday!" And he's like, "So am I going to get this party that I've been asking for?" And she's like, "No, your father said no."
It's so sad. It's nice that they introduced it. That's one of the things I think this episode does really well as a first episode, is that in the first, like, minute here, you get a nice introduction to both the characters and to their home lives, because you can see that Marinette's kind of a little spastic and weird and goofy, but she has, like, this warm, comfortable-looking house, and she sees her mom there and stuff, and her mom's, like, teasing her about, like, if I have to clean your room, I guess I'll go through all your personal stuff. So, kind of playful and loving. Whereas Adrian's house is, like, stark,
sterile,
but affluent, and it's just sad. So sad.
Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah, it's like this giant fancy mansion, but everything's bloody sterile. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, black and white outside of his room.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that I was impressed by right away watching this, is the, like I said, I had skepticism about the CGI animation. I saw that and assumed it was going to be, you know, kind of a cheap show. And right away, like, the environments that they've built are really, really interesting. Like, they're very detailed, and, like, clearly there's really good art direction and stuff. It's not just, you know, they dropped in a stock house in the background just to have a background. Like, these are really well-designed spaces. And the character models are a little bland for me right away. Like, the proportions of everybody looks a little generic. But I feel like the animation on the character models is really good. Like, everybody's got really expressive faces.
Well, here's the thing. Like, it with their faces and stuff, it's like, you can, like, all their expressions are great.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get away from, like, that, like, all their body stuff, it kind of, like, just blends. Like, it's very bland. And I'm guessing that's specifically so when they have the transformation. Mm. It is such a dramatic change. Like, it's like, oh, this is where all the action is now.
Yep.
It's
go ahead.
It's supposed to be like that. Like, it's for the, like, making the outfits look so much, like, more vibrant and better.
Yep.
I reckon.
One of the things I saw that talked about the production of this said that basically they look at it as each episode is kind of two different stories. There's the action superhero story, and then there's, like, the sitcom slash soap opera story.
The high school drama.
Right, and they film them completely differently. That was one of the advantages when they switched to 3D, is they actually use entirely different camera techniques when they're, you know, quote-unquote filming the drama part compared to the action part.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very distinct when that switch happens. But yeah, while the character models are a little bit generic, the animation is still really, really good. And yeah, I think this is just like a very cool opening, setting the tone, seeing those two households together.
Yeah. And it really, not much happens in the homes other than like Marionette. She has that back and forth with her mom, mm-hmm. and then she hides a present that she's got for Adrian behind her back, and she runs out the door. Adrian has that short interaction with his dad's assistant, and then he heads off to school.
Yep.
And then it goes immediately to the high school.
Yeah.
I know it's not actually a high school, because of what they're actually doing there. So, I'm speculating that it is a fashion and design school.
Okay.
And I'm, like, nearly 100% sure that's what it would be, because of who's there and what they do.
Let's see. I just, you know what? I was going to talk about this next episode, but I'm looking it up. It is the... here we go. English version. Francois Dupont High School in the English version. It's a public secondary school.
So it's supposed to be like middle school then?
High school. Secondary school. Okay. Yeah, so Francois Dupont High School. So yeah, it's high school age classes. But yeah, the class that they're taking in the second episode seems odd, but we'll get to that when we get to it. All right, where were we at? They get to the school, and
she's embarrassed.
We meet the best friends, right?
Yeah, she's like embarrassed and hiding, and she doesn't know how to approach Adrian to give him the gift she made for him. Mm-hmm. And her best friend is trying to psych her up to be like, "Yeah, go get it, go give him the gift." And on the other side of that, it's Adrian and
Nino?
Yeah, Nino. They're commiserating over Adrian not being able to have a party because his dad's kind of a...
Little bit. Nino's like, don't worry, dude. I'll talk to him for you. And Adrian's like, don't do that. Please don't do that. And Nino's like, sure thing, bud. Meanwhile... yeah... So we meet one other person before we cut to Nino going and talking to Adrian's dad, because of course that's what he's going to do. We meet
blonde girl, Chloe,
the blonde girl,
and her friend,
her quotations,
her assistant.
Yeah,
I still don't know the assistant's name. Does that ever get mentioned?
I'm not sure if it's mentioned. Her name is Sabrina. I've got it looked up, but I don't know if it gets mentioned. But basically, Chloe is like, oh my god, happy birthday, Adrian. You're gonna love your present, but the stupid delivery man had to delay it, but it'll be there tonight. And her friend is like, what'd you get him? And she's like, nothing, but you're gonna go find him something, and it better be good. I hate her so much.
It better be good and heavy.
And heavy, because... yeah.
Because her excuse was they had to go get another man to help deliver it because it was super heavy.
Which
is the stupidest thing to say. Like, it's not even a good lie.
Yeah. It's dumb. This is very much a kid's show. We should say that. That's another thing that's shifted is the anime version of this that they originally envisioned was more geared towards like high school students. And when they switched to the 3D animation, one of the things they shifted around the same time was gearing it towards kids. And it's very like cartoony characterizations. Like Chloe is like the school storyline's villain, like very much yeah. so. And she's a very over the top cartoony villain. Which is fine. Well, she is a good version of that. It's just she's not very interesting to me.
Yeah. Well, the really weird thing now is the next cut. So the bell rings, so they go into the school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember actually seeing anything in the school. Did we cut to the school for a bit here? Like a class or anything? No, because then the next scene is them going off to lunch.
Right. This, I think, was actually this was lunch. So everybody was hanging outside on a lunch break. Because we then over to the mansion, right?
Yes. And I think before we go inside, the girls ring the bell and drop the package in. Mm-hmm. And then the best friend's like, did you remember to sign the card from you? And she's like, That silence? That's exactly what happens.
I love how like awkward and befuddled Marinette is. Like she is such a fun character right away.
And then she has the magic school like the magic girl transformation and she's like complete opposite.
Yeah.
But it's so her character still.
Yep.
She's still goofy and stuff. But she's more confident.
Super confident and together. Yeah. I like that a lot. So she's dropped the gift off. Inside, the assistant gets the gift and she's like, I'll deal with this later. And then...
there's a conversation with the dad and the assistant.
Oh, right. Because he hasn't gotten a gift either.
No. And the assistant looks at the gift and is like, ha-ha.
Yep. Yep, she's like, I'll just steal this gift that a classmate of his got for him. I'm sure this will also be an appropriate gift for his father to have given him. She doesn't open it. She doesn't check. She just assumes it's going to be fine. Yeah. That's a brave, brave play.
I just realized how many ways that could have gone wrong.
It could have been very bad. It could have been like a picture of her in like a heart-shaped frame or something. Like, it could have been real awkward.
Oh, yeah.
So then Nino comes over to be like, hey, rich father of my best friend who's super stuffy and things. Let him have a party. Just let him have a party. Just let him have a party.
Dude, I mean, sir.
Yeah, but I like that he kept saying, like, yeah. I think two or three times in that conversation, he started to say dude and then said sir. Show some awesomeness, sir. and not only is the father like, absolutely not, he's not having a party, but he's also like, you're a bad influence. Get out of my house. You are no longer welcome here.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. That's harsh.
And Adrian shows up, like, as Nino's, like, trying to fight for this party. As his dad starts yelling at Nino and is like, you're a bad influence, get out of my house. He's like, Adrian finally, he like stands up to his dad and he's like, hey, he's just trying to be a friend. He's just trying to do something nice for me. Can you just like, not be a total douchebag right now, essentially? And his dad's like, no, leave. Yeah,
get out. So then we see Nino, all sad, sitting on a bench blowing bubbles, which is, like, my favorite. I'm like, that's so cute. He's so sad.
And then the main villain, Hawk Moth, mm-hmm. who suspiciously has the same colored eyes as Gabriel Egregious, or whatever his name
Adrian's
is.
Adrian's dad, yeah.
Adrian's dad. He oddly has the same colored eyes. Do you think they're brothers?
Weird. 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 it's weird that they never introduce us to who this villain actually is. Like, we only see this villain in his villain's lair and we never see who he actually is. Weird.
What's really weird is that he's surrounded by, like, hundreds or thousands of, like, little white butterflies or moths, and he catches one, covers them with his hands and turns them black, and then unleashes them onto an innocent member of the public to turn them into a villain.
Yeah.
Which is what happens to Nino as he's sitting on a bench. And
yeah, his little speech here made it apparent to me that this was clearly Adrian's dad, because he's talking about, like, oh, you're so upset because blah, blah, blah. Like, the things that he was talking about is what Nino was upset about. So I was like, okay, this is Adrian's dad. However, I don't think this is really spoilers for the next two episodes. That seems to just be one of Hawk Moth's powers, is that he can find somebody who is in a dark place and tap into their darkness. So this being the first episode, it was like, okay, that's them telling us that this is Adrian's dad for sure, except that he can do that to other people. So maybe it's not, but
no, listen, but here's the thing, that the model, they look kind of similar, but they don't look exactly the same.
Right.
Like, and because Hawk Moth has, like, this mask on and stuff, like, you don't have the distinctive hair styling that the dad has and stuff.
Right.
So you can't tell that. The only thing that really is distinctive about Hawk Moth is his really light blue eyes.
Right.
And my distinction of, like, oh, he has very similar eye color and eye shape to the father is kind of a hint, but you're not really sure at this point. And you don't get confirmation at any point in the three episodes that we watched.
Yeah,
but
I am less convinced three episodes in than I was in this first episode. This first episode, I was like, oh yeah, that's obviously his dad. And then the next two episodes, there haven't really been suggestions that it is his dad. So
no,
I'm almost like, maybe I'm just too tuned into the trope, and I assume it's got to be, but.
Well, that's why I'm joking that it might be an uncle.
But I could almost see,
because
that.
That's the other trope.
Yeah,
that's the other trope. It's like, oh, you think it's gonna be the dad, but then it's the uncle,
right? And like, maybe like they start to think that it's his dad near the end of the season, but then it turns out that his dad gets akumized by Hawk Moth, and his dad turns into a minor villain, and they have to save him, and then they find out that it's not him. Like, I could see it going that way. I genuinely do not know at this point if it's his dad or not.
No, but the villain's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, his whole aesthetic is really on point, and he's, like, got this whole lair, and it's like, you don't see anything else about him in the three episodes. It's just him in this lair, and he's turning moss into things, and he's telling people, hey, let your inner darkness out. And that's what happens to Nino, and he turns into the bubbler, who has this giant bubble wand and container that he captures people in bubbles with.
Mm-hmm. Sure, why not? Because so Hawk Moth's whole thing is that he empowers people to, like, take out their own vengeance on the world when they're in a dark place. And he's like, and by the way, while you're doing that, if you could just go ahead and grab the Miraculouses from Ladybug and Catnor, that'd be great. Thanks, buddy. But the way he empowers people, he sends out these moths that have the Akuma in them, and they latch onto an object that the person has. So in this case, for Nino, it latched onto his bubble wand. And so then that becomes like a totem of the bubbler's power. And also, we see later, it's his weak point too. If you break that, you break the spell that's turned him evil, basically.
But yeah, he blows a whole bunch of bubbles to capture all the parents or adults in Paris.
Yep.
All the Parisian parents floating up into the sky. And this is when Nino is like, now's my chance to throw the birthday party Adrian wants.
Yep. And as soon as, I think it's Marionette, we see the bubbles happening, she knows immediately. She's like, oh man, it's Hawk Moth. He let another Akuma out. And I'm like, I like the competence that she, like, does not, there's no, like, panic or anything. It's it's I think this is where we see kind of the transition between Marionette as Marionette and her as Ladybug is,
yeah,
even though she hasn't transformed yet, as soon as like it's like it's on,
because
and she
because
goes.
She sees her parents floating up into the sky. This is the first look you get at her dad as well.
Yeah, it becomes a crisis and she is ready to go.
Her dad's beefy. That's my note. I'm not joking. I have a note that just says her dad is beefy.
I realized that I said the S word a minute ago, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go figure out how to beep that. And I might just cut out you saying beefy and use that as the censorship sound for this series. We'll see. No, Siri, I said series, not you. So spots on, right?
Yes, what's on?
So Tiki pops out, which is Marionette's little ghost. Little
Miraculous.
Her Miraculous, I guess we can call it that. And she's like, yeah, spots on. And Tiki flies up and like lands on. Does she have that earring already? I was unclear.
I'm not sure if it was just like a normal earring that she lands on and changes the colors of, or if she turns into the earring and then makes the suit happen.
Yeah. In either case, we get a magical girl transformation.
Yep.
MC, this is maybe the first magical girl show I've ever watched. I never watched Sailor Moon growing up. That's like a big miss on my pop cultural awareness. But I know enough about it to be, as soon as this happened, I was like, oh, that's what kind of show this is. Okay, suddenly things are falling into place.
She transforms, and then I think it goes to Nino at the party, and all the kids looking... Oh, no, wait, before that, she sort of gets outside, and she's tells like a teenage kid to look after the little kids, and that she's going to go save the parents.
Yep, yep.
And then we cut to the party.
Yeah. Then Adrian comes out of his mansion, and there's a bunch of kids outside waiting to party. And Bubbler's like, "Aw, yeah, dude, we're going to do a super cool party." And again, celebrating total competence, Adrian immediately is like, "Aw, that's Nino." And Nino got evilized. Aw, damn.
And he's about to transform, and his Miraculous black cat.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is like, hey, wait a second, what's
plague?
It saying?
Plague? 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 Plague?
Okay.
Plague. Plagg.
Okay, yeah, plague.
Plague.
But it's essentially it's like, hey, wait a minute, how about we have a bit of fun first? Let's not break up the party.
Yeah, and because Adrian never gets a party, and so he's like, yeah, all right, I could party for a little bit.
When Adrian gets down into the party, everyone's sad.
Yeah, he's like dancing. He's like, oh, yeah, it's my birthday.
He's like, party!
Oh, everybody's being forced to dance. Nobody's actually having a good time. His mood shifts real quick, which is good. Which is good.
I don't really think it shifts all that quickly, because he goes along with the party for a little bit too long, in my opinion.
I guess we don't really see how long he's down there, like, oonsing it up before he realizes that.
He's down in the party, and he's having a bit of fun, and everyone else looks miserable. Yeah. And then Chloe decides, hey, slow dance.
Mm-hmm.
So she sends her assistant, Sabrina, up. And what happens is she convinces Nino to put on a slow dance. Sabrina doesn't, because she's all timid, and he's like, oh, it's a bit early for that. And then Chloe's forces her way in and is like, no, this is for Adrian. Give us a slow dance. And it's terrible. It's real terrible.
Nobody wants to be dancing at all, let alone partnered up.
And when the slow dance comes on, Chloe's like worming her way into Adrian's space, and she's trying to get that smooch on.
Yep.
And this is where Ladybug shows up, essentially. Yeah. and she's up in the top and she's like, oh no. And then she yells Lucky Charm, which seems to be her special power. And she gets a record.
Yeah, this is really cool. So before this, we saw that Ladybug is super athletic and she has like just super cool yo-yo skills.
Oh, yeah.
But this is like her special move is Lucky Charm, and a record appears. And then we get like this cool black and white thing where she's looking around and like Ladybug spots appear on certain objects, and it like helps her realize like a series of things she can do with the object that appeared with Lucky Charm to help her accomplish a task.
What's really cool about this, I'm not sure if you catch it, like you don't catch it in this one, but you catch it in like the later ones where it doesn't show you the start position for what the action should be. It shows the end position first, and it works its way back to where she actually has to start the like cycle of the Lucky Charm,
right? Which is so, really like, cool. In this case, it's like she wants to get the record to change, so that lights up, but she can't reach it, so like a wall lights up, and then the record. So she throws the record, it bounces off the wall, and it goes on the DJ's turntable. Yeah. It's a cool ability. I really like this as a superpower of hers. I think it's neat.
Yeah. And then Nano's like, who's messing with my system? He says something, and he's like, who's messing with my music, sort of thing. And he turns around, and no one's there, and he's just like, oh, and it goes back to doing whatever.
Well, he didn't want to play slow jam anyway, so he's like, no. All right, we're done with the slow jams. That's fine. We find out that once Ladybug uses her Lucky Charm ability, she has to transform out of Ladybug mode within a few minutes. She has like a certain amount of juice, and using that ability takes up a huge chunk of it.
Yeah, and what happens now is she has to turn back into Marionette.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens now is she sneaks into the party and steals a handful of cookies and throws it in for her Miraculous to eat.
Yep.
Because essentially that's how they build their power back up, it sounds like.
Gotta chow down on a snack.
Yeah. And this is when her best friend shows back up. I still don't know her name.
Alya? A-L-Y-A?
Okay. And she's like, listen, this is our chance to put your name on the present. Come with me. And they sneak in to the house.
Yep.
And right inside the front door, it seems, is the present.
Yeah. Apparently, the assistant's office is like the entryway. But I guess that's convenient. So while they're changing the name, or rather putting her name on the present, Bubbler notices some dude not dancing. And he's like, why aren't you dancing? And the guy's like, don't feel like it, or whatever. And Bubbler's like, fine, into the sky you go. And so,
he's like, the Miraculous, what's Ladybug's one again?
Tiki.
Tiki is like, hey, I'm back full energy. Yeah. Stop messing around with this present. Get back out there and stop the Bubbler.
Yeah, so she's kind of doing the same thing Adrian did, where Adrian's like, I guess I can party before I stop the bad guy.
Yeah.
Marionette's like, I guess I can fix this present before I stop the bad guy.
And that's when the emo kid...
That's true.
...is... like, emo kids are supposed to be sad. And when Nino's like, as the Bubbler is like, hey, why aren't you having fun? And the emo kid's like, oh, that's none of your business. Instead of just being like, oh, okay, being a normal teenager and walking away sort of thing, he does the villain thing and puts him in a bubble. And
sends him into the sky.
Marionette sees the emo kid float past the window in a bubble and realizes, oh no, I've spent too much time.
Yeah. Well, this kind of ups the stakes, too, because now kids are in danger. Before, he had sent all the adults away, and now suddenly he's attacking kids as well, which is not great.
No. I'm pretty sure around... No, he doesn't do it until at the end of the party, isn't it?
What's that?
No? Oh, no, Adrian disappears around now, isn't it?
Yeah. Marionette goes back into the fight. She turns back into Ladybug and starts fighting with Bubbler. And that breaks up the party. And when the party gets broken up, Adrian's like, what am I doing, man? And he runs off and what is his? Claws out. Not spots on. Claws out. And turns into Cat Noir. So then we get an action scene. We've been going for a while, so we need to speed up. The action scene is a pretty good fight scene. There's a lot of beats in it that we could go through, but basically, it's just a good fight scene here.
It's great. It's great animated. There's like a lot of like very animation like style, like Dragon Ball Z style cuts for the fight.
Yeah.
Like if you've seen any anime where they fight, pretty much you know what's happening here. There's some cuts, but a lot of the like 3D aspects to it put a whole different aspect onto the actual action that's happening. And there's a lot of yo-yos and staff.
Yeah, Ladybug uses a yo-yo as her primary weapon, and Cat Noir's got kind of a power pole. I guess it doesn't extend nearly as far as a power pole, but he uses a staff. And ultimately, they end up...
all the kids get put in bubbles and thrown into the sky because they're not having fun at the party, and that essentially is what catalyzes Cat Noir... Adrian to like become Cat Noir and all this stuff to happen.
Right. Yep. After battling Bubbler off for a little bit, Ladybug and Cat Noir do get trapped in a bubble and they end up way in the air above the Eiffel Tower. Just way in the air. Because
way up.
If you're in Paris, you got to end up above Eiffel Tower at some point. So they just get that out of the way in episode one. And how did they pop out? Oh, because Cat Noir uses Cataclysm.
Yeah. Yep, his Cataclysm, which is like his lucky charm. It's like this big burst of energy that happens. And they pop it. Mm-hmm. And then they use his staff and her yo-yo to land on the Eiffel Tower.
Yep, they had to use both of their weapons together, MC, because it's like, with their powers combined, they're more powerful than they would be on their own.
Ah, here's the bit where I put together that, because there's another fight with Bubbler at the Eiffel Tower, and this is where I put together, she works backwards towards how she's going to get things done, because she uses Lucky Charm again, and she gets a wrench this time.
Yep.
And she works back through a whole system to get this air thing undone, and Cat Noir uses that to blow the bubbles back at the dude, at Nino, and they pop his, they break it, don't they?
Yeah, so basically what they're ultimately doing is they get the bubble wand out of the bubbler's hand, and as soon as she's got it, she just smacks it. Just breaks it in two, and that releases the Akuma, but it doesn't break the spell on the villain quite yet. So the little butterfly thing shows up, but the bad guy is still a bad guy until she captures the butterfly. She has like...
It's part of a yo-yo or makeup kit or something?
I think it was part of her bag, not her yo-yo. I was... not certain, but basically she has the ability to capture the Akuma, and when she does, to undo everything that it did. So
She cleanses not only the butterfly that infected the bad guy, but the whole city.
Yeah, so Nino comes back, Bubbler's gone, he's now Nino again, and everyone is back on the ground, everybody's fine again. Which is convenient for a superhero show to have one of her powers be that she can just undo all the bad things that happened at once.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of having to be like, deal with, okay, we beat him. Now we have to go get the adults out of the sky and bring them. No, she can just, as soon as she beats the bad guy, she can reset everything. it's weird, and it like it makes me question the backstory, because I'm like, how does she have an ability that is so perfectly suited to counteract Hawk Moth's abilities? That's
I don't know, odd,
but it's very convenient for storytelling purposes.
And that's pretty much the end of the episode. Like, there's a bit of back and forth with Cat Noir and Ladybug, where he's kind of flirting and she's like, meh.
She's totally the cool one in this situation.
Yeah.
And he's real into her. Cat Noir has a thing for Ladybug. And Ladybug's like, dude, we're superheroes. We don't got time for that.
Yeah. And I think the end of the episode is probably the worst thing ever, because it cuts back to Adrian in his sterile house,
mm-hmm.
and the assistant getting the present, grabbing the note that Marionette had written on the present, scrunching it up, throw it in the bin, and taking the present to Adrian and being like, this is from your father.
Yeah. Can I read my note here?
Yeah.
It says, Natalie, for shame. She's stealing Marionette's present and saying it's from Adrian's father. And then my next note is in all capital letters. You don't even know what's in there!
But everyone who don't know what just happened to Troy's voice, he leant real far back in his chair and yelled.
I hope that doesn't butcher my audio.
But it was hilarious.
At the next day at school, we see Adrian meeting up with Nino wearing a snazzy blue scarf. And Marionette are so pumped.
Yeah. And then it turns out that he thinks it's from his dad. And Marionette's all sad for a second. And then she's like, and then her friend's like, oh, you gotta tell him. And she's mm-hmm. like, no, he's happy. And I'm happy that he's happy. So we'll just leave it. She's such a good person.
She's so good. She's so good and pure. And Elia says, you're amazing, girl. And someday Adrian will figure it out, too. I promise. And this is just so cute and wonderful.
Yeah.
That's very good.
I really like this show.
I do, too. I was completely surprised by it. I expected to be so disappointed, and this was like a cool superhero anime that just happens to be CGI. I like this episode a lot.
Yeah. I have nothing to add.
Tune in next week when we watch Miraculous, Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir. But it's not the Tales is the problem.
No, Miraculous
Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir, Season 1, Episode 2, Mr. Pigeon. I'm getting a phone call. That was a good time. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast, or email us at basesfcast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.